Hello and welcome to the devotional series from Holy Trinity. This time we're looking at Luke chapter 24 verses 50 to 53, which is actually the final four verses of Luke. When you read a book that has told a long and important story, you expect it to finish with a carefully crafted ending which summarises the major themes which have been covered. Luke does nothing like that when he brings his particular gospel to an end. In about four short sentences, he describes Jesus blessing his disciples, ascending to heaven, and the disciples returning to Jerusalem and gathering at the temple to praise God. That's it. Nothing more. It's a strange ending. Reminds me of the Matrix series of films. In about 2002, Matrix Reloaded, the second part of the trilogy, came out, and I went to see that at the cinema. It left it on an absolute cliffhanger, and at the end of the film, all it said was, "to be continued, ... which I think is probably one of the most annoying film endings that I've ever seen. Fortunately, they got away with it because they brought the third part of the trilogy. The film came out later that year, so we didn't have long to wait. And indeed, Luke never intended these final four verses to be an ending. He'd already planning a sequel on this, which is the book of Acts. So the last words of Luke don't bring the story of Jesus to a close, but merely bridge into the next part of the account Luke is writing. I'll read from the passage now. So that's Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So Jesus took his disciples outside the city and near to Bethany, which was on the Mount of Olives. They had been there several times before and it held good memories from them. What happened next created one more unforgettable memory. So first he blessed his disciples. Luke says Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them. So raising hands was a very normal form of Jewish prayer. Perhaps Luke stresses the raised hands because, like a priest, Jesus was calling down God's blessing on his followers. And indeed, Jesus, as our great high priest, is the ultimate person to pronounce a blessing on the disciples. They certainly needed that blessing. The other thing is that there was so much that they'd experienced and learned. I don't know if you've ever imagined what it would be like to actually be there physically, walking with Jesus on this earth, watching his miracles, watching what he said, watching what he did. It must have been absolutely mind-blowing. So you can't really... It's hard to imagine what was actually going through the minds of the disciples after everything that they've been through and trying to process all of that. It's not an easy thing to do. Clearly they needed God's help and Jesus prayed that blessing on them. There was also so much more that lay ahead of them. So the struggle wasn't only with what they'd already been through, but what they were being called to do in the future. The disciples had been put to work. Part of Jesus' final teaching was that the gospel had to be preached to all nations, and those who were witnesses of his life, death and resurrection would be the ones to do it. So that, even now, seems like an impossible task, but at the time that must have felt absolutely staggering and totally unachievable. There were certainly no planes, trains, automobiles or Facebook at the time. Jesus was quite clear that they'd also have to face hardship, so these disciples stood before risen Jesus, but every one of them knew what happened before his resurrection, which was crucifixion and death. If enemies could do that to someone as popular as Jesus, then it would also be their fate. And Jesus never pretended otherwise. So many times he'd warned the disciples that following him involved the way of the cross. He'd given specific prophecies that literally followers will be hounded to death. And indeed, brothers and sisters today are in situations where their life is in danger and they are killed. And Jesus told them, "You will be put out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God." So that's a difficult future to face. And indeed, you need You need to be sure about some things if you want to be a committed Christian and a disciple. So the disciples had to be sure that Jesus is God's son, that they're wholly committed to him as Saviour and Lord. And last but certainly not least, filled with his spirit and have the strength of God to face any hardship. That is a critical part that we need today as believers, and the disciples needed then. Jesus had promised them that they would be clothed with power from on high, and he prayed that blessing on them now. The disciples needed that blessing, and we need it because the magnitude of the work is still enormous. The hardships to be faced by those who serve Jesus are still daunting. And we're neither wise enough nor strong enough on our own. But with the Lord's blessing and power, all things are possible. The other difficult thing was for the disciples that Jesus was leaving. He was actually going away. And the way that Luke describes it, Jesus was still blessing them as he ascended to heaven. Only Luke describes the ascension of Jesus with any detail, but it is a hugely significant event. God took human flesh and, still fully human, returned to glory. He didn't abandon his manhood at the door of heaven. Jesus took that redeemed humanity right into the presence of the Father, the first of millions who are his and will share the victory he won over death. But nevertheless, he still physically left. He was there with his disciples, and a short time later they were still there and he wasn't. I mean, that must have been a difficult time. Were they consumed with grief, panicked on their own, or rejoicing, or all of those things? Perhaps they managed to deal with it well because they understood a couple of key things that spending time with Jesus had actually shown them. Fortunately, we've got hindsight and we also know these things. So the first one is, they knew this was God's plan. Their minds had been open to understand the scriptures, and Jesus had spent time helping them see the big picture of what God was doing. Now they knew and understood much more than ever before that Jesus had not been raised back to life so he could set out again on a new mission in the flesh. But actually, that his departure was meant to come, and that they knew it, and that it had to happen. And the second is that they knew this was God's plan for Jesus, which would usher in an equally wonderful plan for them, which we are now part of. So far from being abandoned, the disciples had been promised power from on high, but the Holy Spirit was a gift to be sent only when Jesus returned to heaven. At another time, Jesus told them, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So right now, they had to let go of Jesus physically, emotionally. He was returning to glory, and that was God's plan, but they had to accept it. But very soon the Spirit would fill them with power. So when he says it's time to let go, no matter how painful it is to loosen our grip on things that we feel we want to cling on to, we have to let go. The comfort and the joy is that God's next thing for our lives is just ahead, and it's a good thing, a very good thing. So really, I just want to share with you today that if there's some things in your life that you feel that you need to let go of, that God has a good plan for you, a good plan for your life. And sometimes you have to trust him and let go of the things that you really want to hold on to, but you know it's time to let them go. Certainly over the past year, there's been a lot of changes in people's lives, some good and some bad. And we've had to let go of a lot of things that we really took for granted. But I think if you pray and spend time with the Lord and be directed by his Holy Spirit, maybe that God is clearing the way in your life, and indeed globally, for a new thing that God is going to do, and it's going to be a good plan. So I'll just finish with a prayer for you now. Lord, I thank you that we can trust in you, that you have good plans for our lives. I just pray that you fill us again with your Holy Spirit today. I pray that you bless us. Help us to hold on to you, Lord. I pray that you would just gently remove anything from our lives that we do not need there anymore, Lord, and instead fill it with a fresh sense of your presence and your purpose. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.